702.
The Newsmaker of the Day with John Perlman.
Well, I was prompted to, that we should look at this story by something that was shared with me on Twitter. The person who posted it is known as Penuel the Black Pen. You may know him from Twitter, from YouTube, from his work on TikTok. He's also on Facebook as well. And I'm just going to give you elements of what he posted, because it's really got a lot of people talking, and we thought we needed to get a response to this. But first, let's start with Penuel, who says, I used to be a passionate blood donor until it clicked that they pay everyone in the value chain except the blood donor. As a donor, you have to buy blood for over 3,000 rand a pint when you need it. He says, now breaking their own laws, they're giving away goodies to donors instead of money. And then goes on to say, in conclusion, he says they hide behind being an NPO while paying everyone but the golden goose until they fix this. I am not donating blood anymore. He finishes by saying, pay donors and ensure they get free blood when they need it. Stop exploiting people. We thought we needed a response to this debate, as I said, prompted by Penuel the Black Pen. And we've invited to the show the South African National Blood Service. Let's welcome their medical director, Dr. Corin Vandenberg. Dr. Vandenberg, welcome. And thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much. And we really appreciate the opportunity to respond.
So, I mean, I think the first thing is that, you know, I want to deal with the last thing Penuel said and said, you know, shouldn't donors get free blood when they need it? Has that ever been looked into? And if it has, what made you conclude that it wasn't possible?
Perhaps I should start by just explaining that collecting blood, while we obviously, as you correctly indicated, we don't pay donors for blood, but the process of collecting blood, processing it, testing it, having a product that is safe is a really expensive exercise.
Yes.
We have to do multiple things. The people that work for us need to be paid. We need to have really good technology to be able to test the blood so that it is of high quality. And we need to make sure that there is blood, whether you are in Sandton or whether you are in the Sikisiki. And the logistics of moving these products that have very specific temperature control mechanisms required, etc., is a very expensive exercise. And perhaps then to just take the next step is to say that in terms of the National Health Act, the blood services that are licensed in South Africa are allowed to recover their costs, because the South African National Blood Service is not a state-owned entity. We're not a department of the government. We are a fully independent organization. So we have to recover those costs. So that, I think, is a really important context for this conversation. With regards to our blood donors, I think also quite, you know, very dear to my heart is to say that we have never not given blood to anybody, whether they were a blood donor or not.
Yes.
Just because they couldn't pay. So we give the blood. Your doctor sends in a request for blood and we issue it. The people who are in the blood banks don't even know whether you are going to pay for it or whether there's a process or anything like that. So we never not give anybody blood because
yes,
they don't pay.
Right.
If you, for example, if you're in a private hospital, if you are there as a medical aid patient,
yes,
we will bill your medical aid for the blood product because we have to recover those costs. If your medical aid doesn't pay for whatever reason, we will engage with the donors, and if
yes,
they can pay, then they pay. We have never taken legal action against anybody because they haven't paid us. So while we... years and years back when I was a young girl,
yes,
there was a policy that if you as a blood donor or one of your family members needed a blood product, you would not need to pay for it.
So can I jump in and ask you this? I mean, the amounts that you charge to public hospitals, I'm looking at your price list, state patient price list, red cell concentrate, I'm just picking an example, VAT inclusive. Let's round it up and call it 2,400 Rand. And some of the prices for other blood products are more expensive. Is that the price you charge public health. That's not the price you charge the patient.
That the public health sector, that is the price that we will bill the local or provincial health department of health.
Yes.
So we would send a bill to that department of, or to that hospital, that public hospital, my apologies, the public hospital, or to the provincial department of health or the local municipal services, depending on, you know, who is rendering the service.
Yes.
And then that is the price that they would pay for it. The pricing for the public sector is slightly more expensive for a number of reasons.
For the public or the private? Which is more expensive?
In the private sector.
Okay, and, you said public. I wanted to be clear.
My apologies. There's a slight... most of our blood banks, where we actually host our... keep our laboratories, are in public hospitals. And so... and those public hospitals don't charge us rent and things like that.
Yes.
And then, you know, obviously, you know, in most instances, there are differential pricing for any services delivered to the public versus the private sector.
We'll come back to our conversation with Dr. Karen van den Berg. She is the South African National Blood Service Medical Director. I see a number of you are sending us your voice notes, 072-702-1702. We'll share a couple of those. Right now, it's 19 minutes past five. Let's get back to our conversation about the South African National Blood Service. We are joined in this by Medical Director Dr. Karen van den Berg. A couple of you are sending in some either comments or questions on 072-702-1702. Let's hear a couple.
702, I've got a question in regards to this blood drive scenario. Is if a person's medical aid doesn't pay for the blood and they engage with the person who received the blood to pay them for the fees, is there, surely there should be an option for them to replace the blood plus additional blood to make up for the expenses of transport and storage?
Hi, John. Just on the blood as well, you know, you donate 1 or 2 pints of blood or so forth, and then you pay like 3,000 rand to get blood, but that's just to get normal blood. So now if they split the blood, like you get platelets or anything like that, then it becomes even more expensive. So, yeah, I mean, I must agree. It's all good and well. We do it out of goodwill and that, but there is a lot of countries like the UK that actually pays you to donate blood, like £60 or £50 or £100 or whatever. And I mean, it also motivates the people to go and donate blood because they're getting something for it. So anyway, my thoughts. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, John. Just ask your guests, why can't they just have a list of blood donors and then you get a huge discount, say 90%, when you go to hospital, whether it's a private or not? At least that way you acknowledge the actual donor of the blood. Jimmy, my 2 cents worth. Jimmy Midrand.
Jimmy, worth much more than 2 cents. You know my position on inflation and words of wisdom. Dr. van den Berg, let's start with Jimmy right at the end there. I mean, why can't there be some acknowledgement materially of people who have made contributions with some kind of discount? Are you, because I've engaged with you on this before, but I want to be clear if I've understood what you seem to be saying. Are you saying that if we did that, the SANBS, its financial stability could be put at risk?
No.
Okay.
That is not the case at all. The biggest, there are two main issues here, and they interlink. The first is that in terms of the law, as well as international best practice and WHO guidelines, we are not allowed to compensate people for donating blood. And giving people a discount if they do need blood would fall into that category. So that is the first part of it, is that we would fall foul of the law. The second part of it is that when there's very good evidence to suggest that if you make a substantial material
yes.
payment to people for donating blood, you actually introduce risk to the country's blood supply in that people who, for example, are truly struggling in life may be compelled to donate blood.
Yes.
When they perhaps should not be donating blood.
Because of their health circumstances.
Because of their health circumstances, because of the, we have, poverty in South Africa is a massive problem. People don't have food security.
Yes.
Which means that they probably don't have a really great diet.
Yes.
And for them to donate blood when they actually can't, they're struggling to even feed themselves, and they now donate blood because of some monetary compensation, you're actually harming the donor.
Yeah.
You can, there might be good reasons why they shouldn't donate blood, because you might be introducing risk to the recipient of blood. So this is a very, very difficult situation.
Yes. Can I ask you this then? I mean, you were saying in the framing of your answer, Dr. Van den Berg, and I'm just referring to the National Health Act of 2003, that you cannot offer rewards. But Pennell the Black Pen, who got us going on this topic with his postings on Twitter and perhaps on other platforms that I might not have seen, puts up something that says the demand for blood is high, and this looks to be from the SANBS. To show our appreciation for your support, donors can select one from three options: 1 month of Showmax or Spotify subscription, or some data. How does that square away with the wording of the law, which he also shares for our convenience? He says, it is illegal for blood donors to be given any financial or other rewards. Aren't you already walking on that line and possibly over it?
No, I don't think so. It is very much in line with international practice and WHO guidelines for us to acknowledge the gift of donating blood by giving people a small token of appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really exactly what this is. It is expensive for people to drive and come and give their time and their energy to come and donate blood. And so this is really just an attempt from our side to say thank you very much for doing that. So, the material reward is where you can actually financially quantify that. If you come and donate blood, if you need blood, you will pay less money for it. So there's a direct financial impact on a donor, or anybody that comes and make a donation. So,
but can I jump in there and say, the way you framed this, you're not after the act saying, thank you very much, really appreciate it. Do you want to do Showmax, Spotify, or data? You are actually trying to incentivize people to come and donate. And by the way, I'm not expressing a view on whether that's right or wrong. I'm just trying to look for the consistency of your position. By circulating this as a message, I would suggest you may be over that line.
And I respectfully disagree.
Yes.
It's a very interesting conversation, and it has changed over time.
Right.
One of the callers mentioned that in the UK they get paid £50 or £60. That's not quite accurate.
Sounds too much.
Nobody gets paid to donate blood in the whole blood. I'm talking about actual blood products.
Yes.
There are other people where they collect plasma for all kinds of stuff, and those donors might get paid. But blood, the traditional blood donors in the UK don't get paid. But they have, in Europe, for example, systems where if you come and donate blood,
yes,
there's an agreement between the blood service and employers, and somebody would get the afternoon off to make it easier for them to come
right
and donate. Or they would get paid the cost of the Uber trip, or this or the that.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. And I know from the breath that she drew in, that Dr. Karen Vandenberg had plenty more to say on this. But we really have run out of time. What we need to do is come back to this and really explore this debate in all its manifestations. Perhaps we can get some guests from other parts of the world, find out how countries with similar economic and social circumstances to ours are starting to deal with this. Dr. Vandenberg, many thanks for joining us, South African National Blood Service Medical Director. And thank you very much to Penwell the Black Pen, who got us going on this topic. Follow him on Twitter at GodPenwell, and I guess many people already know his YouTube and TikTok platforms. But it's opened up, judging from listener response, an incredibly important debate. We'll come back to it. It's 29 minutes past five.